So today I'm talking about righteous responses, righteous reflections. Matthew 23, Jesus says, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often would I have gathered your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate. For I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Father, today I'm going to talk about righteous response, righteous reflections. We need to individually make the effort to reflect Jesus Christ with how we live, to reflect Jesus Christ with what we say. I see your heart, Lord, for people who rejected you. I see your heart, Lord, for people who are going to turn on you and sentence you to death. Let us not be antagonistic, Lord. Let us understand we war not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Lord, I pray that you would start with your church, that we sang about this, that the art of losing myself, Lord, is giving you praise. That when I forget about me and I reflect you and I concentrate on you, Jesus, and I make sure that what I say and how I act comes from your character, that you empower in me by the gift of your Holy Spirit when I accepted your Son. Lord, the church needs to lay down its militancy at times, and we need to reflect your grace, your love, and your mercy, Lord. Help us in your name, amen. A couple weeks ago, the Olympics started. And yes, I looked at some of the pictures from the opening ceremonies. Were they mocking out the Last Supper? Or was it about the feast for the goddess Dionysius printed it out. Oh, I got angry when I first saw it. But then I started thinking, what do I expect from people that don't know Jesus Christ? And I saw a couple commentaries, one by a pastor. Oh, he let people have it. He let the church have it because of their ungodly response to ignorant people. And why do we think that our sin is greater because we do it in Jesus, is less because we do it in Jesus' name? I understand the anger, and I had the next day, I had a little debate with somebody who talked to me about it. But I gotta admit, I look at those pictures and my heart breaks for those people. I want them to know Jesus Christ. I want them, before they breathe their last, to say on this side of heaven, "Jesus is Lord." Because everybody's going to say it on the other side of life. But if you don't know Christ, you're going to be saying it before you get a one-way ticket to hell. I understand in the chapter of Matthew 23 that Jesus is denouncing the scribes and the Pharisees. You see, Jesus opposes religion, which is man's way of getting close to God. Man cannot get close to God outside of Jesus Christ. I pray that everybody that comes to New Covenant has a personal relationship with Christ, but I know walking through those doors singing these songs, they're not getting you to heaven unless you have said, "God, forgive me for my sins. Jesus, you are God. I'm living for you, and forgive me." See, Jesus hates man's feeble attempts at right relationships by what we do. That's why he went after the Pharisees. You know, but what moves me, what stirs my heart, is watching Jesus' compassion for the people who are down and out. We like to be with people who make us comfortable, but God doesn't want us to be comfortable. You know, we got to realize people are lost in their misconception of who God is, and they reject the outreach of God. How we live needs to show Jesus Christ. The first point I'm going to make is perfect love casts out all fears. You know, 1 John 4:18 tells us that. You know, how does this relate to what I'm talking about? I talk to all kinds of people. One of the things that I miss being a pastor is relating to the world. I liked it when I was a teacher. I enjoyed it when I was an assistant manager at a sporting goods store or when I worked at the nuclear plants, because I was with people that had no clue who Jesus Christ was. You know, and I enjoyed being able to build a relationship, and when the right time came that I could tell them about my personal relationship with Jesus. You see, I think sometimes we got to be careful that we don't just hang out with our own kind all the time. You see, God brings me peace. I've had people tell me some of the most blasphemous things in the world, but you're not going to shake me. I heard once, you might have heard this proverb, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me. I mean, you can say to me whatever, and I have had some of the most unrighteous things said to me, but I'm just going to like the person. Because sometimes it's like, you know, they go after you to see if you're going to hang in there with them. We got to be careful that we don't lead people astray, that we point people to Jesus Christ. I'm going to blow it. So are you. But God's compassion is, okay, pick yourself up and let's go forward. So when I see ungodly things, I got to admit, yes, I get angry, but it really, Lord, how do they get to that place? How do they get to that place? I mean, forgive me, I remember before I was saved, driving around in the back of a pickup truck in Morrisville, New York, mocking out Jesus Christ until the Son of God got a hold of me. So I see people, and I know that, man, they're just deceived. And I look at Jesus' heart for Jerusalem, lamenting and grieving over people that he knew were going to turn their backs on him. Look at Jesus washing the feet of Judas Iscariot, who betrayed him to death. Hung out with him for 3 years, knowing what was going to happen. Richard Francis says, Jerusalem had rejected the appeal of God's last and greatest messenger, and now the judgment must fall. That's what Jesus is talking about, Matthew 23. Hey, you stoned the prophets. I love you. I lament over you. But guess what? Judgment is coming. Oh, we love Jesus. I love Jesus. I love God's grace. I love how forgiving he is to me. But I also know, and Fran talked about this last week, Fran Rowe, when he spoke, Jesus isn't just a substitute. If you're sitting here and you don't have him given your life to Christ, Jesus did not die for your death. Because you own your death right now. For your sins, I should say. So God is righteous. To get to heaven, you have to be without sin. You have to be purer than snow. You have to be white and righteous. And am I? Yes. Because, man, actually, you know what? 45 years ago Wednesday, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. As an unchurched kid from Morrisville, New York, after I graduated from Morrisville College, I found out the truth, and I said, God, forgive me for my sins. Jesus, you're God's son. This word repentance means I got to live for you, God. I can't live for Dick Beaumont anymore, the best of my ability. I got to live according to that. And you know, all of a sudden, August 10th, 1979, 13th, I should say, boom, all of a sudden I knew I had for eternity. On August 11th, 1979, I wasn't destined for heaven even though Jesus Christ died for sins. So perfect love casts out fear. We have to get used to getting dirty. When I talk to the people that don't know the Lord, they use his name a lot. It's usually not the same way I use it. And it makes me tick inside, but I've learned I'm a big boy. I can deal with it. I hear all kinds of F-bombs. Boom, okay, you know what? I don't like that. But when God places me in that environment, I'm not going to melt like the wicked witch that gets water thrown on her. Jesus had sorrow, not joy, over the rejection of the Jews. The Bible tells us to love our enemies. Israel, love Hamas. Not getting political on you. Talking about the Jews and the Samaritans. I'm not saying you don't stick up for yourself and do what you got to do. I'm not going there. What I'm saying is our attitude has to be love those who are against me. The Bible says don't rejoice when your enemy fails. John 1:11 says he came to his own and his own people did not receive him. The Jews didn't receive Christ. Now, before I got saved, I had the reputation, Dick Beaumont in Morrisville, New York, if you do me dirty, oh, I'm going to pay you back. If you do me dirty, $5, I'm going to pay you back $500. I mean, I just had the reputation. I am going to pay you back so bad, you won't come after me again. When somebody does me wrong today, oh, I still want to do that. Come on, let's be honest. Don't sit there all righteous. You're like me. You ain't saints. You're just becoming one. But then I pray, say, Lord, I'm really thinking you don't want me to do that. Like when you're over near the pie guys and the two lanes become one. And I don't know about you, there's more than once I have floored the gas pedal and let that fool look like a fool. But then as I go to the stoplight at the college, God says, would I have done that? How would have God reacted to the opening ceremonies? Some people chose to boycott the Olympics. I did that, not just because of that, but I really don't care, which is fine if you watched them. But we need to look at things through the eyes of eternity. You know, I love rock music. I look at the different people over the last 2 years that have died, and I say, Lord, I don't know if they knew you. And that breaks my heart. That breaks my heart when I see people that are very well known and very wealthy, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But did they know the Lord? The world doesn't have the capacity or the capability to impact our eternity. What am I saying is it's okay to get, look at Jesus. Had dinner with who? Prostitutes and sinners. He didn't melt. This world is unclean. The people that God puts in my life, a lot of times, they're unclean people. I went to a function in the last month, and there are some younger people there, and they were talking all kinds of language, and I wanted to smack them upside the head, but God said, no, just hang out with them. Just talk to them. They don't know what they're doing. They are ignorant. So I say, Lord, you got to give me your heart for them. My next point is getting there from here. You know the old saying, you can't get there from here. And you can't get to heaven without Christ. But, you know, I liked what Fran talked about last week, about being known. What is your legacy going to be? You know, your legacy might be, hey, I'm the best basketball player ever. Part of my legacy is I was Patty Dockstader's favorite son-in-law. She had one. But what's your legacy going to be? I want my legacy to be he lived for Christ. I want my legacy to be that I pointed people to Jesus Christ. You know, and one of the things that Fran talked about last week is we have to be grafted in. We have to be attached to God. I'm going to tell you what breaks my heart as a pastor, seeing Christians staying in the same place year after year after year because they define their person, their relationship with Jesus rather than letting Jesus in. You know, Fran talked about, you know, we all have a room. I call it my office at home where you just shove stuff. you know how my grandson needs a new basketball hoop, even though he has three at home. I'll buy it and I'll shove it in my office and he might use it twice a year. Or other things. But how about your life? Is there a place where I'm not going to let God in, look at my finances or my sexual relationships or my anger or my whatever? You just got to open up Christ. He knows it anyways and say, Jesus, come on in. Romans 12, 1 and 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Yes, I have spoken on this topic a lot the last few months because this is what God has on my heart. Pete's speaking next week, and good news, I'm doing a different series after that. But right now, God is saying, reflect, people. The days are dark, but we are light. We have to confront this world. You know what I realize every week and every day? How much I need Jesus Christ. I can't live the way he wants me to live without the Holy Spirit working inside me. If I don't open up my Bible regularly, if I don't pray regularly, I'm not going to grow. The more I spend time in the world system, in the world outside of Christ, outside of fellowship, it's going to make more sense to me. We need to have a commitment to Jesus Christ. I like what Fran said last week. To know him is to know his grace. The world may be going to hell in a handbasket, but how about we never get tired of showing them a little glimpse of heaven? I'm not going to have eternal life. I am living eternal life. Yes, I know this body is closer to death than it ever has been, but I got eternity. There's a book, God in the Alley, by Greg Paul. He writes of people, his ministry is in the inner city of Toronto. They survived physical abuse, sexual abuse, substance abuse. You read in there where he might be in a diner at 2 o'clock in the morning with transvestites, with drag queens, with prostitutes. What's he doing? He's telling them about Jesus Christ. You know, Friday, do you know it rained on Friday? You might have seen glimpses. So I'm over here and I'm looking out this window and I see people at Second Chances, which Bridge to Hope rents from us. They give out clothing and furniture, standing in the stinking rain to get help. I like an insulated life. I like getting up in the morning, being comfortable in my house. I like quiet. I like everything just lines up. Everybody agrees with me. I meet people that don't challenge me, and I'm just walking on sunshine. What a crock that is. New Covenant, my question for us, what is God asking us to do? I'm blessed by what I see happening at the Christian school. You know, Dave and Debbie Grootman for him served faithfully. We have some new leadership, and we see other churches with, because of relationship, getting involved and doing stuff. And it's like, God, where are we making an impact for your kingdom? You know, I go to Price Chopper, and over there, and you see the people asking for money. And I know you're not supposed to give people money. And I know it's easier just to look straight ahead and not look at them like they're not people. But they need Jesus Christ. I don't know if they have mental problems, drug problems, or lazy problems, or life just stinks sometimes. But there's times I pray, and I'm not telling you to do this. What do I do? There's times God says, I want you to give them money. Say, well, God, you know, I've read in books. You're not supposed to do that. Well, sometimes God's better than books. And sometimes I tell people, you know what? Jesus loves you. And this is why I'm going to do that. And I don't have to always give them the Romans Road, but I'm just being nice to people. like when I go out to breakfast or dinner or whatever, I try to really strike up a conversation with the waiter, the waitress, and just have a good time. But last week, as I'm watching it pour and people just waiting, I said, Lord, break my heart for what breaks yours. I need the Holy Spirit to break me. I see people called to foster care or all kinds of things. And you know what? It's a challenge. God doesn't want us to be comfortable, because when I'm comfortable, I rely on me. But when I'm not comfortable, I have to rely on Him. And I know that with Christ inside of me, I got the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in me, that God can transform me. And yes, there's times I mess up big time, like when I gun it and don't let that guy in, or other bad stuff. And God rebukes me and convicts me and I repent. But then He goes, come on, man, let's keep going. Your life is going to be a reflection for something. Let it be for Jesus Christ. Let it be. You can get there from here. And one of the things that I've learned is I have to have discernment and I have to have patience. You know, when I'm dealing with people that don't know Christ, I can only go as far as they allow me to. When they put up the roadblock that says, okay, I'm good, then I keep my mouth shut, because I know at another date, God's going to maybe give me time to go a little bit deeper with them. But I've learned when I invest myself in people, and let me say, sometimes I invest my life with people that make me squirm. Sometimes I'm in a social event and God goes, go talk to them. But I don't wanna. And He always says, oh, that's okay, then you don't have to. No, He says, greater is He who's in me. Come on, go over there. I'm gonna challenge this church. Let's do that Sunday morning. Let's stop the congregation in the hallway and talking to friends, and let's come in here and see who God wants us to talk to. You guys are amazingly friendly. That's why I came to this church 45 years ago or something like that. But I'm just saying, one of the things that Paul Wagner taught me, he was the first pastor here, my life isn't my own. When I'm in a meeting, don't get comfortable in your conversations. Pray, who does God want you to talk to? I went to a birthday party yesterday, and I had to be late because I had stuff to do. And everybody was in a conversation. Now, I am not a naturally social person. So I'm standing there, and the first reaction came, okay, get a bottle of water, so at least you look like you're doing something. If I hide behind the trailer and leave, they're not even going to notice. So I'm high-fiving myself thinking, this is great. I have this fantastic exit strategy. And when I leave, let's be honest, they're going to feel bad because nobody talked to me. Then God had to butt in. Go sit over there. Again, don't want to. Don't even like some of those people. Christians can say that if you're honest. But I love them in Jesus. So I went over there. Was it awkward? Oh my gosh. I've told you this story a million times. When I went up north and pastored at Copenhagen, my daughter's high school friend, she was a senior, poor young man, got killed in a farm accident at Christmas time. We went to calling hours. I made her go first. No, not because I'm chicken, but she knows how to relate to people in that way, and I wanted to learn how to do it. It's not like here, throw you to the wolves, but I want to see how you open up. I want to see how I can get better at this. So I did that yesterday. You know, I sat down. I ate for Jesus. I talked to people, and I left quick, but at least I made a presence. See, God doesn't want me to be comfortable. My personality when I'm in a social setting is I just want to be in the back row where nobody notices me. But sometimes what God is saying is I want you to enter in. I have been amazed when I talk to teenagers and stuff. They listen. I went to lunch with somebody recently. I was telling Melody, they're like 40 years younger than me. Why? I'm old. And they're not. But I realized when God goes before us and he puts somebody on your heart, he makes a way. It makes no sense to me. But the good news is God doesn't have to make sense to me. When God tells me to interact, there's a lot of times I just jump in there. I have said a lot of stupid things in my life, but I've also learned when God tells me to go, I don't have to be smooth. I am not. The only pickup line I ever did that worked was with my wife, but she'd already had picked me up earlier. So, I mean, and it was God's grace. And don't ask her what it was, because it might embarrass me. But anyways, have you ever had God say to you, speak to this person about Jesus? How? How? I mean, like I said, I'm not an elder. So I say, want to hear about Jesus? How's that for original? But I've learned if God goes before me, they're going to want to hear it. Hey, you want to hear about my faith? So in Christ, we experience the complete love of God. Jesus grieved over these lost people of Israel. They're going to reject him. They're going to turn him over to die, but he lamented over them. God is selfless. We need to trust him for protection and for vengeance. Ungodly love is rooted in insecurity and pride, looking out for ourselves. That's why the divorce rate is so high. Well, I don't feel this. Well, guess what? God doesn't care. Did you say I do? Yes, Lord, I did. Then you did. Keep it. It isn't about feelings. Oh, my goodness, today, I don't know if Democrats can like Republicans and vice versa. I have learned to grow. I have friends. I got to sit down for this. I even got friends that like the Buffalo Bills. I even got friends that like the Bills and the Yankees. Being a Tigers fan, that's a big thing to say. I chew on my tongue a lot because I can be sarcastic, antagonistic, and I love to debate even if I don't know what I'm talking about. And when people come after Christ, or they come after this, or they come after that, that sometimes I know I can't debate them into the kingdom. So I just bite my tongue really hard and I pray, God, give me grace. And then when the time's right, I can say what I have to say. But I want to listen to them. I'm not going to melt if I hear what they have to say. There's a good friend of Melody and mine who's an atheist. God has said, love him. Oh, we love him. We hang out with him. We do stuff. We just, and you know, we see God little by little breaking down the walls. Not as quick as I would want it to be, but a lot of times God doesn't move in my timing. We see God's way is selfless. It's trusting him. Ungodly love is insecurity and pride. Self-centeredness will never give you peace. Self-centeredness is never going to give you joy, and it's never going to give you satisfaction. Ephesians 2. And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Lord, let that be in us. Let us see that we were dead in our trespasses, but now with you, Lord Jesus, I live. Let me not be like the ex-smoker who goes crazy with people that smoke. I grew up with two parents that smoked all the time. And I learned that's one good deterrent to never want to smoke is to grow up with that crud. And the other week we're at a party and person next to me smoking and okay, Lord. But you just live with it. What am I trying to say today? Because I know it seems like I'm bouncing around right now. we got to man up and trust Christ. We live in an ungodly world, and it's not going to get better. I pray for revival in our country. I have heard a lot of pastors say the golden age of America is over, and I got to tell you, I think it's true. But it ain't about America. It's about Jesus Christ. Often we find ourselves in an internal struggle on how we want to live and how God wants us to live. That's when we need God's grace and we need to pray. A lot of times, because I'm a passionate person, I could wear my emotions on my sleeves. When somebody ticks me off, God aggravates me. Because rather than say, you're right, they're an idiot, he says, I want you to pray for them. I'm good at that. Oh, Lord, kill them. But he goes, no, that's really not what I meant. That's okay. Lord, I want you to, I bite my tongue, I want you to bless them, Lord. I want you to set them free. I want you to set me free, Lord, because when I'm mad at somebody and I don't forgive them, it ain't hurting them, it's hurting me. Because I want to respond the way that God wants me to respond. And yes, I struggle with this, but I keep saying, God, have your way in me. And can I tell you something? That's a scary prayer because God hears it. And he's going to have his way in me. And he's going to put me in pain, but he's a loving God. Yes, he loves me so much, he doesn't want me to be me. He wants me to be his son. So God will do whatever he has to do to get rid of me and to fill me and be the person he has called me to be. When I fall, I repent and move forward. Man, I'm good at beating myself up, but that ain't cool either. Just move forward and get over it. God has chosen us to live in Oswego, New York. Yay? When I lived on the Tug Hill, it took a while. After about 5 years, a guy in the church came and said, you don't complain about snow anymore. I was beaten down by then. But you know what it was? I said, Lord, I bought a Jeep and God moved us up north. Mel said, you should have bought a convertible. I said, Lord, I hate where I live. 1 year we got 380 inches of snow, which should be in hell. But I said, Lord, you got to change me. God, it really tormented me. I'm not going to lie to you. But God, you got to change me. And it took a long time. And he did. So now I come back here and it doesn't bother me because y'all don't get any snow compared to the Tug Hill. So I can deal with this. So I pray for God and you need to pray, God, show me how you want to make an impact. We all have different personalities. God made your personality and purpose so that you can impact for his kingdom. Maybe you're not going to be the person that goes to a birthday party and makes your presence known. You slap everybody on the back. Maybe you think about leaving and you just sit there quietly and talk to people. That's what God made you to be. God doesn't want an introvert to become an extrovert. That's not how it works. But we can learn. Like I said, I learned from my wife in a very sorry and mournful situation. How do I follow her lead and graciously talk to people and let them know how sorry I am? But we have to realize today, August 11th, 2024, God wants you to make an impact for Jesus Christ in the life of somebody. I don't know who it is, but I know, well, I don't want people to reject me. I get that. But you know what I found? When I have shared Christ with somebody and they get all up in my face when they walk away, it's just, ain't that bad. It's kind of like Rocky when he fights Mr. T. You know, it ain't so bad. On the second fight, first one wasn't too good. But anyways, let's pray after we do the summary. Perfect love casts out all fear. What do I mean by that? Don't be afraid of the world. Don't be afraid of the people that get all up in your grill. Don't be afraid of rejection. By grace we are saved. We need to be a living sacrifice for Jesus. Some of us, your spiritual life hasn't been going great. Can I say it's not because of God? Some of you, because you've been withholding yourself from God. He can't ever bless that. He'll give you grace, but when we say, God, I'm going to hang on to this portion of my life, I walk out from under the umbrella of grace. So God wants us to be a living sacrifice. We need to seek God's heart and compassion for the lost. We war not against flesh and blood. Let's pray. Lord, I've been praying for the church. How do we get involved? One of the things I want to do, Lord, is I want to have a Wednesday night where we come over here and we go down to Second Chances and we help sort clothes, because I know they have a lot of inventory, but they need a lot of help. How are we impacting the lost? Sometimes, Lord, the world looks like a cesspool, but it's because they're following the prince of this world. They're following the devil. They don't know it. But Jesus, you said, if you are not for me, you are against me. There's not an in-between ground with you, God. We're either in your family, forgiven, or we're outside of your family, eternally condemned. But your word tells me you wish that no one would perish, but everybody come to you. So I pray today as we close, Lord Jesus, give us your heart for the lost. Show us how to get involved, Lord. A great testimony of this church for 40-some years has been Oswego Community Christian School. People that have dedicated their life to touch young lives, to educate them, but to touch them for you. It's been a huge financial sacrifice. Pray that you would bless them. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't be afraid to get our feet and our hands dirty with the world, Lord, but that we would allow you to guide us, Lord Jesus. The Pharisees really were infuriated when you had dinner with tax collectors who stole money from the Jewish people. Prostitutes? We got all kinds of sexual issues going on in this country, Lord, because we don't follow your way. But you want us to love those people, not to get mad, but to be grieved when we see them living out a life of deception. Lord, I knew that life way too well. Let me not judge others, but let me be a reflection of Jesus Christ. Let me reflect righteousness. And let me respond righteously even when I want to respond a different way. I am not talking about a false grace that sweeps everything under the rug, but I'm talking about responding in truth with love. Show us, Lord, everybody in this room, how do you want us individually to interact with the community you have placed us in, Lord? One life at a time, who do you want us to touch, Lord? Bless these marvelous people. And as I close, Lord, I do pray for the Dazing House. I pray for Second Chances. I pray for Bridge to Hope, Lord. I know there's a lot of ministries I'm not even thinking. Salvation Army, Father God. These families committed to touching those that are lost. Show us how to get involved, Lord. And I pray for Oswego Community Christian School. Bless these mighty people. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Have a great day.